We're here with Stud here today on the Adult Gamer Podcast. It's coming your way.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Adult Gamer Community Podcast. I'm Fenrir765, and as always, I'm blessed to be able to talk video games with the one and only Optimus. As usual, we try to bring in another community guest, and we are joined today by our Nintendo champion, Studknuckle, who willingly shared that he has cleaned all of his bits for today's show.
Thoroughly. Twice. And just let me say that, you know, if you guys need a little bit more budget for an intro, you know, we have some leeway in the tag funds. We can talk about this. Get you some backup singers or something.
Let's just say I don't think it's our intro song that's keeping us from fame.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Oh, no. I don't know. I think it's our shtick now. We just kind of create our own thing. I mean, we've looked around. But if you're listening and you want to help us out, let us know. We'll definitely...
I would love some custom jams. I looked at some stuff, but I think really either I'm going to have to get on GarageBand, or if somebody else from the tag community wants to make us some music for this show, I would really, really, really love two types of music, like a modern kind of music style, and I'd also love some like chiptune music, like for retro gaming talk or something. So if anybody has those kind of aspirations, yeah, send them our way.
Is it is it Yankee that has all the guitars?
He has a few. Yeah, I have a couple too, but I mean, I don't have the setup to record with that. I'll probably just, if I have to, I'll get into GarageBand on my iPad and just compose it directly there. I just haven't made the time to do any of that. I'm working my butt off.
Literally.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, not only are you just working out, but you're also getting yourself choked out at your Brazilian jiu-jitsu class.
Yeah, it's good times.
Not that kind of choked out, Stud. Chill out.
Oh, sorry. All right. you paint a mental picture, and I just go with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you guys doing well? I mean, you guys staying away from any coronas and viruses?
I think it's my state that seems to be the most infected right now, and there's only 6 cases that I know of. Of course, it is just the next county over. But, yeah, so far, you know, it helps to never leave the house and just wash my hands constantly, so I'm staying alive.
I mean, you are the cleanest bits on the West Coast, so I hope so.
Right now, for the moment. We'll see how they are at the end of the podcast.
There we go. Hop, you staying healthy and happy?
So far, so good. My wife and kids have all had whatever that nasty cold flu thing's been going around, and I just freebase vitamin C and spray Lysol over the house and clean everything with Clorox wipes. That's how I'm living right now.
It's been my life for the last 2 days.
Right, yeah, you were saying your daughter's sick too. It's going around.
Jeez. Wintertime is a bitch, but... You know, as we're all trying to avoid the plague, I know, Stud, we were talking a little bit off the show that there was some Nintendo news that may have been affected or not as affected.
Maybe, may or may not. It seems like about a week ago, Nintendo sent around a notice for those that were hoping to pre-order the Animal Crossing version of the Switch. I guess they're putting out a special edition that comes with a dock that has Animal Crossing stuff on it, things like that. And initially they said that things were going to be delayed. Production was going to be delayed because of the coronavirus. Maybe they're making those docks in China. I don't know. But it looks like IGN updated an article and said that those things are going to ship about a week ahead of the actual game dropping. And it may still be shortage in production, but, I mean, what else is new for Nintendo, right? Everything's always shorted when this comes to special editions, so...
Isn't it like manufactured scarcity?
Yeah, maybe. And maybe they're using the virus as an excuse this time, but I guess the moral of the story is get your pre-orders in if you want something, and...
That's pretty much been the case with Nintendo items. You have to pre-order them, or you won't get it.
Yeah, it hasn't been as bad with the Switch, at least not lately. I haven't had any trouble getting anything in a while, but historically, their special editions tend to go quickly.
As long as it's not as bad as the Nintendo Entertainment System Mini that they did.
That was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that was just impossible to find forever. So,
I think you can get them now readily, though. I think they're still...
Every once in a while, I'll see them pop up. They had a batch show up at Target, and then they disappeared. The SNES Mini was more available overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like the SNES controllers for the Switch to use on the online stuff. I saw a post today, somebody saying, hey, they're back in stock at Nintendo.com. Go get them now. So I guess they just run batches, throw them out there whenever it's done.
Not that any of us know for sure, isn't the, like, the big company that pretty much mass produces all these devices, like Foxconn or something, and, like, they're the same people that do pretty much the Xbox and PlayStation as well?
No, they do the iPhones. I don't know who works on the...
Okay.
On the Xbox components.
But. I'll just be interesting to see how this impacts the coronavirus outbreak out there, impacts the devices, not just obviously Nintendo, but Xbox, Apple, all the big companies that will be releasing devices over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little crazy, and this thing is actually getting worse before it gets better. They don't expect it to peak until, I think, sometime in March.
Jeez.
So,
I mean, is this like somebody playing Plague Inc. on their mobile phone right now?
Apparently, as of this week, 10% of the world's population is in quarantine. If that tells you anything.
Jeez.
It's just crazy.
Well,
that's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it's all in China for the most part.
Yeah.
But China is huge. There's a lot of people over there.
I mean, they what have 1/6 of the population of the world, so...
Yeah.
I mean, going from, you know, one outbreak spreading to possibly details spreading like wildfire elsewhere, Hop, can you tell us about some Call of Duty news?
It's kind of been rumored for a while. I think our resident Xbox champion Fireman had brought this up off the show a few times, that they're adding a Battle Royale to the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which piqued my interest because I just picked up the game 2 weeks ago when it went on sale. and there's been some leaks on Reddit. The map is probably at least twice as big, if not bigger, than the one that was in Blackout. Our own Hybrid Havoc says it looks about the size of Miramar from PUBG. Rumored to be up to 200 players. There's going to be different kinds of control points and ways to acquire gear. Sort of like the Firestorm mode in Battlefield 5. Like, there'll be supply houses where you can get some stuff. There's vehicles. Rumors of 2v2, 3v3, of course an all-out free-for-all, and then squads of four. No concrete deals yet. There have been people that have glitched out their main menu, and it shows the mode called Warzone as the Battle Royale. We'll see what happens as this Season 2 of Modern Warfare unveils itself, but it looks like we should get it this season. There was a playlist update today that changes some of the playlist, but nothing mentioned about the Battle Royale yet. The playlist updates were, they removed the double XP, that's over. They added a 1v1 on Rust. They added a playlist for 24/7 Rust and Shipment, so if you want to get all your shotgun kills, there you go. And they added a map, Tavorsk District, back into Ground War, which will be nice because I like Ground War sometimes when I'm not getting sniped nonstop. That's all the Modern Warfare news I got. What do you got going on down in your neighborhood there, Finn?
Did any of you guys ever play Anthem?
No.
I tried the beta and just didn't find the fun.
Okay.
You know, I think flying around like Iron Man was cool, but everything else just felt mad to me, so I didn't go further than that.
Well, that's a fair criticism. I think a lot of people enjoyed the flying, but some of the weapon play was kind of meh. But ultimately, the game was just kind of a hot mess. You know, unbearable load screens for a very long time. Kind of unnecessary load screens at times. Back and forth between things that could take forever to get to something done. And then the story just wasn't very fleshed out. It was very skeletal. It just, you know, it is what it is. I played most of the story, and last episode, Hop and I, and holy crap, who was on the show? Sithy, there we go. We're discussing the grind, and you know how games artificially put grind into it for no other reason but to make it a longer experience. Well, Anthem was definitely a big proponent of that, and needless to say, the game was a mess, and it's only been out for about a year now, and there's pretty much nobody playing it, and it's supposed to be BioWare or EA's big game as a service game. And well, they officially came out and said that there is a huge giant overhaul in the mix going through work right now. They're not going to share a lot of details until it's ready, but eventually it's going to, in essence, release as a 2.0 product. No word on anything whether it's going to be you have to purchase it to play this new version or what.
That's what I was going to ask. What happens to the people who paid $60 in the first place, or $100 or whatever?
Yeah.
You know how EA likes to sell special editions.
Yeah, and that's going to be the really big thing. I think that EA and BioWare will effectively, I don't know, shoot themselves in the dick if they charge people for this new version of the game, that especially if they've already bought it. I think that would really screw people over and burn any chance that they have of making this a worthwhile game that could have some.
Feels to me like they'd almost have to go free to play, kind of like what Destiny's done, and yeah, just to get everybody back in the pool, and then you know, then start selling them on the extra stuff and
the cosmetics and all that stuff. Yeah, no, totally. And they cannot charge. I do know if they came out and said, all right, we have this 2.0 version, we fixed a lot of things and it's great, everybody's reviewing it, it's coming out with solid reviews, but they say pay $20 to play it, sorry, you're not getting my money, I'm not coming back to you, I'm done. And that's my stance on it. And I know we'll get into something a little bit deeper regarding this in our deep dive, but I think it's kind of interesting that EA is not giving up on this, considering BioWare's had some not so great launches the last two times out. So, not to say that Mass Effect Andromeda was a bad game. I really liked it. It
had a bad launch. They did fix it later. It was a crap show at launch. I played it after they fixed it, and it was okay. It just didn't blow up my skirt, so I just didn't finish it.
I mean, it didn't capture the same Mass Effect magic that the rest of the games had.
It was hard after playing 2 and 3. It was like, I'm just not feeling
that. I maintain the stance, if Mass Effect Andromeda was not a Mass Effect game, it probably would have been more well-received.
Maybe.
I think both of those games, Anthem and Mass Effect, didn't they have a roadmap where they were supposed to have DLC that continue the story and did all that, and they just kind of let both of those go?
Yes, Mass Effect definitely did, was supposed to have DLC, and then they just, I think all they did was they made a deal with some kind of comic book company, and they released what the DLC would have been as a comic, or...
I wish Valve would do that with Half-Life.
Oh my god. Finally finished the story. Right.
They would actually have to write the story.
Yeah, true. Anthem, I think they had a roadmap, but they had so many other things wrong with the core gameplay experience that I don't think they could ever effectively go down the DLC roadmap that they wanted to do. So I think they're doing the right thing by just rebuilding the game, if you will, kind of a la Destiny and the Taken King, and Destiny 2 with the Forsaken and Shadowkeep expansions. Like, heck, even Division 1 did it. They rebuilt the game pretty much from the ground up in terms of systems. So
Yeah, but I feel like Division did it a lot faster. I mean, Anthem has just went cold a month after release, and it's
true.
Been a year now. It's getting people to come back to that. All goodwill has been lost.
Well, No Man's Sky is an example, right?
That's true.
I mean, that game had such an awful launch because of all the things that they said they would do and they never delivered on, and then they did their next release or something when it dropped on Xbox, and it brought a lot of people back to the game. I mean, I don't know if they stayed for long periods of time, but
now it's a good point. And apparently that game is completely different from when I played it at launch. I haven't gone back and looked, but it's supposedly just a totally different game now.
Yeah.
Which is awesome that they put that, you know, that work in.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We might be talking about this next February as when it finally releases. So we'll have to get you back on the show then, Stud.
Okay.
And see if you actually dived back into the Iron Man fantasy of flying around. So,
well, if they go free to play, I wouldn't mind checking it out.
You know, I find it fitting that you are here with us today, Stud, as our, you know, treasurer extraordinaire, I guess. And, you know, how can our community help fill those coffers to pay for exciting projects and things that we have going on in TAG?
You can help us by making Jeff Bezos even richer. Just put the money right in that guy's pockets, and it'll come to us. It'll trickle down like Reaganomics. We are supported by your capitalism. When you buy things on Amazon and use our link on the site, you will pass money on to us, which pays for things like this podcast and apparently Minecraft servers. Are we still doing that?
Yeah, I believe we are.
Okay. And various another sundry other things behind the scenes. But using our affiliate link keeps TAG going. And
yeah,
luckily we're a pretty cheap operation. Go ahead.
I was going to say, just post the link in the Discord anywhere, and there's a bot that Hybrid Havoc made, and it will kick back out an affiliate link that you can use to purchase that item down the road. So
there you go.
Yeah. And we still have a t-shirt shop, right? Does that do anything for us?
We do. In fact, I just got something today saying that we made like $14. So keep buying those t-shirts, guys.
There we go. All right. We can record for another month.
Yes. That's true. That's exactly what this podcast costs.
$14? Right on.
All right.
Maybe
so
up
stuck.
To 20 now. Okay.
You know, my mailbag has been a little dry over the last few months.
It's been a dry winter. I mean,
it has. It has. It's been a rough one.
Take care of that mailbag, dude.
I'm doing my best. I put it out there for people to.
Okay.
But not many people respond. But you know,
do they need to fluff your mailbag?
Duke did give me a question, and it's very topical. We've already kind of discussed
like the kind you put on your mailbag.
Oh,
like an ointment, a topical ointment.
With this question, you might need a topical ointment.
Wow.
Oh, wait, is this a setup? Is this going to me?
This is kind of going to anybody, obviously.
Okay,
but
all right.
What video game do you feel provides the most realistic depiction of disease epidemic?
Oh.
And would you survive in that video game world?
Wow. You know, what's the one that's based on that board game that I obviously haven't played because I can't remember the name? Pandemic.
Okay.
I feel like that. I haven't played it, but I feel like that's probably right. But you know what I'm going to say is not necessarily realistic, but The Last of Us was a really interesting take on a worldwide zombie type epidemic.
Was it like a fungus?
They were. What are those things called? I can't remember. They're the little fungus thing that takes over the brains of ants and makes them go do zombie things. I can't remember the name of it, but that world that they created is probably one of the better post-apocalyptic worlds that I've played in, or at least the most impactful. And I know that the sequel is coming out this year. I believe it's still this year, right? It hasn't been delayed like everything else.
Pretty sure it's the spring still.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to going back and revisiting that. But, you know, just thinking about it brings back kind of visceral memories of interacting with those monsters. And, you know, I don't know, man. It's a really good game. I've always been a huge fan of the Resident Evil universe, but I've never felt that those things felt like an actual world. And I feel like Last of Us was fleshed out in a way that just felt more real.
I completely agree with that sentiment regarding The Last of Us. Last of Us 2 is one of those games that actually makes me want to go get a PlayStation just so I can play it. But that requires money.
I'm sure it'll be put out on PlayStation 5 soon enough. They'll port it across all the systems, or all their systems, you know.
Yeah.
Because like, Last of Us, the original Last of Us was PS3, right? And then they re-released it on 4, so, yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll get a streaming service like xCloud or something, and I can pay for it for 1 month and
they already stream have it through something. PS Now.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a PlayStation to run PS Now.
I've heard it's pretty garbage, but yeah. That's...
Well, yeah. You mean like Stadia?
that's pretty awful.
Yeah.
Hop, what epidemic world would you choose to reside in, and could you survive it?
Wow. Well, I mean, really, I don't think I'd choose to reside in any of them. I gotta say, I enjoyed the way that the radiation and whatnot, zombieism, any of those kind of diseases you would get in Fallout 3.
Oh, like the ghouls.
Particularly, yeah, and how you could get affected by the radiation. Like, if you ate too much radiated stuff, it would start to kill you. And if you put it on, like, the super realistic difficulty, it became a lot harder, more difficult. I don't know if I could live through that, but I just thought that was a neat system in the game, and I like how they use that motif and like eating contaminated food. Cause, I mean, you know, you watch like the original Road Warrior movies, and he's eating like dog food after nukes have hit it in Road Warrior 2, and you're like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, the only other game I had seen, and not quite as realistically, but, you know, Resident Evil. World War Z, a little too action-oriented, but a similar sort of setup as both Last of Us and Resident Evil, but I think it was more of a man-made virus that set that one off, right? I don't remember the whole setup for World War Z, but that's a fun game, I'll tell you that, especially with three other friends. What about you, Finn?
I'm probably going to have to go with some recency bias as I'm playing through A Plague's Tale Innocence.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. I mean, it takes place during the Black Plague time, and, like, I don't even want to try to even ballpark a year period, just fear of being wrong. But you're in France, and it's kind of just wild because the rats play a heavy part of the game, but the way the game is set up and the set pieces and the environments just seem like it would be legitimate the way that they do some of the things in that game. So would I survive it? Probably not. Not at all. I'd probably get the plague on day 2 and be dead. So I don't know, maybe not, because I would probably know how to wash my hands and wipe myself correctly. So that might help a lot. We'll see. Well, Duke, thank you for your questions. Anybody else, if you have a question for me, please let me know. I do want to give Stud the floor if he so chooses to go on about pandas, if he would like.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, there's only one type of panda that anyone should ever talk about, which is the red panda. These giant pandas, which are horrible aberrations of nature that supposedly Ubo champions. I don't even want to give them any airtime. I mean, if he wants to continue writing in to random podcasts trying to start a Panda on Panda war, that's up to him. But I think we can all agree that red pandas are the best, and there's nothing more that needs to be said about that.
There's a really funny, enjoyable video that I will play for my daughter every now and then where a red panda comes out of its cage and gets scared by the rock.
I've seen that one. Yeah.
They're the best. They're just the best pandas.
She enjoys it completely. So I do agree. Red panda is quite enjoyable.
There we go. It's settled once and for all. Ubo, you've lost.
All right. Now that we've just debated epidemics and pandas, what are you playing, Stud?
What am I not playing? I just finished up Tokyo Mirage Sessions on the Switch. And I don't think either you guys are Switch owners, so maybe you don't know much about this game. But it was originally a game on the Wii U. Japanese RPG by Atlus, and of course it didn't sell very well on the Wii U because nobody owned Wii U's, and so now that the install base is relatively huge with the Switch, they decided to bring it back out with an updated version. And so the game is pretty much Persona, if you've ever played the Persona games. But where the personas that you play with are Fire Emblem characters. So this is a crossover between the Atlus games, Shin Megami Tensei and Persona, crossed over with Fire Emblem. And the premise is that you work for a talent agency in Tokyo. And so you're going out and doing J-pop stuff and starring in kaiju TV shows and, you know, very anime type stuff. But then on the side, you're going into alternate dimensions and fighting demons. And it's the game is often ridiculous. It's very lighthearted. Not heavy-handed like most RPGs, it just the battle system is great. Not terribly complicated, but very satisfying. You can build up combos among your party and just really kind of whoop ass. And overall, I really had a great time playing it. If you didn't happen to play it the first time around on the Wii U, I think it's definitely worth a purchase on the Switch.
Maybe one day I'll get a Switch. It's always on my list of things I want to get.
Maybe one day both you guys will get Switches. That is the
only thing. I told you the date.
I know. I know.
When I get this home console only Switch, no portable, no extra screen, hooks right to the TV, comes with a Pro Controller, comes packed with Metroid Prime 4, my pants will be off, I will be playing.
All right. That day will come one day. It will. So I've been playing that, and then Monster Hunter World picked up around, it was on sale, the expansion was on sale on Black Friday, the Iceborne expansion, so I picked that up, and I've put way more time in it than I would like to announce on the podcast because it's almost embarrassing how many hundreds of hours I've spent.
But you've been putting some time in with some old school tag members that have kind of come back around a little bit too. So
I've been playing with Madwick and Romano, and what's funny is that because I'm currently in between jobs right now, and last time, about 10 years ago when I was in between jobs, I played Burnout Paradise with those guys and went through 100% of that, and so now I'm playing Monster Hunter with the same crew, and lots of fun.
I mean, Madwick's been posting up in the Food Channel, and he's got me like salivating every time he makes a new picture of whatever he's done. I mean,
that guy is super creative. with the food he's doing. And I don't want to say too much about it because he's working on getting something off the ground and doesn't want his recipes out there ahead of it. But yeah, he's been doing some crazy things with waffles. Silly waffle iron stuff.
Yeah, the thing he did with the waffle, like, I wanted to just drive wherever he was and just eat it. It looked delicious. I've never even thought of that idea, and it's awesome.
No one has, and so, like, okay, I told him, I said, dude, you need to go ahead and get that food truck going, man, because that is, you're just a mad genius. So I've been playing with those guys, and that has been, a lot of fun. Monster Hunter for the win.
I want to play it. I feel like it's too far of a game, that too heavy of a game for me to jump into now.
Well, I know Hop's holding his breath or biting his tongue right now. But so
I ain't gonna shit on your pizza, man. You have fun with that stuff.
Don't you? Yuck my yum. so it's on Game Pass right now. The base game is free on Game Pass, and what they did is they added in armor and weapons that are basically cheater. So you get those right off the bat, and you can blow through that base game very quickly. So if you wanted to experience the game without a lot of the, but kind of you can bypass a lot of the systems that upset Hop when he played. So you can do that and try it out and then see. Because we got Jolly Man, who was also old school tag, got him hooked on it. And he played through the base game in about a week and then turned around and bought Iceborne and then realized it was a lot harder once you actually have to grind for weapons and armor. But he's hooked. And he got his son in there as well, and they're going through it again. So, yeah, it's a good time to jump in, play it for free, see if you like it, and then, you stick around.
Yeah. Anything else you're playing?
I picked up Killer Queen Black on the Switch because it was on sale, I think, for like $10. And that game is lots of fun. And I know that it's supposed to go on, when it releases on Xbox, it'll be on Game Pass day one. And I feel like that's one of those games that tag should be all over. It's a 8-player, 2 teams, co-op competitive style game that's, 16-bit retro graphics. But I don't know if you guys ever played, like iDarb or Towerfall, yes. Things like that. It's a kind of an that vein.
Okay.
Where you have a goal, and 2 teams go at it to try to be the first to achieve that goal. In fact, with Killer Queen Black, there's 3 different ways to win. I think there's they call it a military win. If you kill the opposite team's queen 3 times, there's a economic win. If you go out and gather these goods and bring them back to your hive, and there's a, I forgot what they call the third one, but it's, you jump on a snail. There's a snail in the middle of each of the stage, and you jump on it and ride it toward your goal. And then if you get knocked off, the other players can pick up from there and try to ride it back toward their goal. So it's kind of like a push-pull type thing to get that snail. And all 3 of those things are going on at the same time. So the teams have to pay attention. Well, okay, the snail's almost to the goal, but then these guys are also have gathered 8 berries, and if they get one more, then they're going to win, and whatever. And it's so hectic and crazy, but it's a really well-thought-out game.
I played a lot of... I drew a red box, which is the iDarb thing you're referencing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, iDarb's awesome.
I played a lot of it back when I think it was like a free game you got with gold one many moons ago.
Yep.
And I had a lot of fun with it. Of course, that was back in my like playing video games alone phase of life. So before tag in my book, but yeah. It was a lot of fun, so this sounds like a good time. Maybe we get Fireman, put it on the list, and hopefully we can get people to come and join us on that game night. So,
yeah, iDarb was great as a co-op game. You get 3-on-3, kind of like Rocket League or whatever, but we played that so much at work on lunch breaks. 3 of us local going up against randoms online, and that game was so much fun. I'm sure that's still... I bet that's on Game Pass. I bet you could get it for free.
Yeah.
That game is really, really cool. But yeah, right. That's all that's on my playlist.
Hop? What are you
playing? Let's see. I'll start from the bottom. I modded my Sega Mini, and I've been goofing around with some stuff, and Digital Foundry did a video on the history of Mortal Kombat 1, and I remembered I had installed Mortal Kombat 2 and 3 on my Sega Mini, so I was goofing around with those games. Nothing serious, just goofing off, and I remembered those games had some silly fun in them. And the gameplay, the one thing I noticed, because I also have Mortal Kombat 2 loaded on my SNES Mini, Mortal Kombat 2 on the Sega Genesis was so much better than the SNES. But at the time, I bought the SNES one because it, quote-unquote, looked better. But the Genesis one plays way better, in retrospect. Not that those are, like, really phenomenal games now, but
did
to appreciate them for what they were.
Did the SNES one... The SNES one had sweat instead of blood?
No, Mortal Kombat 2, they, because of the low sales of Mortal Kombat 1, Mortal Kombat 2 is the full game. It runs like shit. It runs so slow. I didn't notice it as much back then, but now I was like, wow, this is a trash port. It's really washed out. I mean, the Genesis one, obviously the color, you're limited to the 64 color palette on the Sega Genesis, but the sprites are bigger, the sound is better. It just controls better. It's more responsive. Been playing a little bit of Apex Legends. Just a little bit. Still not totally enamored with that game. I picked up the 4K disc of Ford versus Ferrari, and I watched it 3 times in the span of a week, so I fired back up Forza Horizon 4 and started driving Ford GTs all over the place.
Nice.
And then the game that's consumed most of my gaming time recently has been playing the new Modern Warfare. I beat the campaign. I enjoyed that. I've been playing a lot of multiplayer with the tag crew, which is a lot of us playing. The crossplay works great, so I've been playing with Tip and Tainted on PC. We got Audible on PS4, and then a bunch of us playing on Xbox, and we can all play together, which is pretty sweet.
That is awesome.
It works.
I didn't even realize they were doing all that.
Really well. Yeah, it actually works really well.
So, I mean, playing against PC players when you're on console, how does that feel? How does that work out for you?
Well, I can't really tell much of a difference because I've got that OLD, and I get killed a lot regardless. I'm having fun, though, so awesome. If you were a young whippersnapper, you might probably get more bent out of shape about it, but...
So, can I ask you about Horizon 4? Have you tried the Battle Royale mode that they rolled out on?
No, you know, I wanted to one night, and it's literally like a single player... There's no parties, no teams... There's no 2v2 or 4v4, so the one night we were going to try it, I think me, Anthem, I don't know, Fenn, if you were there, maybe it was me,
yeah,
Anthem,
I was there.
Sith, and were you there? We were going to try it, and we're like, wait, it's one, like, there's no groups, so I actually never even tried it.
That you makes can't even bring no a group sense. Into it. Like,
right.
You,
so wow. I was like, there's not even a, I mean, every game I know that has a Battle Royale has, you know, it has one versus 100, but then it also has 2v2, you know, four squads of twos, squads of fours, sometimes threes. But I thought that was odd. So, no, I never actually played it. But there are some new updates. It's still pretty much the same game. I just, like I said, I was excited to drive Ford GTs after watching that excellent Ford v Ferrari movie. What have you been playing there, Finn, besides...
Plague's Tale.
Yeah, I mean, it's been Plague's Tale and Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and then... I've dabbled still with PUBG because I'm really liking it and having fun with it. So
it definitely works way better than it did. It's just since I picked up Modern Warfare, I haven't even had the urge to play PUBG because I'm like, no, I want to play Ground War.
Yeah. Well, I will say, you know, if you have Game Pass, A Plague's Tale Innocence is definitely a game to check out. It is, you know, I talked about it briefly last week and this week already, but it's got a really cool story and it's got a really cool mechanic in terms of using stealth and the environment to achieve a path that you can have to get from point A to point B. And some people have been worried that it's like a horror game. It's not really a horror game, it's just more of a very dark toned thriller suspense type game. There's no jump scares. There's no things that, like, jump out and really, like, affect you to the point where, like, you're going to be nervous that something's going to happen next. You're more nervous about what the story is going to produce. So anyways, I really suggest you check it out. It's a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. I think I'm on like chapter 13 out of 17. So, and the chapters can take anywhere between 10 minutes to 45 minutes. So, yeah, I really suggest you check it out. It's definitely a contender for me for a game of the year type category. If I were to rate it right now, even though it came out like October of last year. So, Hop, I know things have been changing with our weekly events, especially on the Xbox side. Can you give us
Well, you know, I bring this to you with some joy and some sadness. So we had noticed overall that, you know, Halo Night has not been as lively as it had been. And I think a lot of that is there hasn't been a new Halo game in like 4 years, 3 years. When did Halo 5 come out? That was the last new game. We did get a little burst of liveliness with the Reach update for Halo MCC, but that didn't last too long. So we've decided that for now, Monday night game night is retired, and we've moved it to Thursday night because the poll we posted in Discord, or the discussion that came about, is most people would rather or probably have more time Thursday night. Monday night kind of sucks. You go back to work, you get your nuts punched in all day, and you're freaking exhausted. And you don't want to have to conform to anybody's gaming. You may just want to watch a movie or something. So with the kind of fizzling out of Halo for a while, Thursday night is now game night. And we're rotating in Halo. We're also rotating in stuff like Star Wars Battlefront 2, which has been popular lately. We did Titanfall 2 the other night, and that was so much fun. I forgot how much fun that game is until I play it. So I know, it's so good. It's so good. I'm so sad that it didn't have a longer lifespan.
I'm waiting for them to actually put Titans into Apex Legends.
I don't think they're going to do that, but I'll share with you a crazy theory I have off-air because I don't want to start some shit and then have some crazy person yell at me.
I think if the player base drops drops low enough, they'll do whatever they can to...
Well, I'm going to show you with you some stuff because it involves two different companies, two different engines, and two different teams. But there's a lot of something I noticed between two things, and I'll bring that up later. Anyway, so until Halo 6 comes out, we're going to keep game night on Thursdays. And even then, you know, we're talking with the group at Tag, we thought, well, when Halo 6 come out, we're probably all going to play Halo 6 all week, so maybe Thursday nights we might want to play something else, but who knows? I mean, generally when a new Halo comes out, Anthem and I kind of retire to Halo and don't talk to anybody unless they're on Halo for months at a time. Well, but we'll see.
Well, I don't know how they're going to do it with Infinite, but, you know, generally we try to blow through the campaign in a week and we don't talk to each other until we're done with the campaign.
A week, dude. I stay up usually for 2 days straight.
That way you're a madman. But usually we get the campaign out of the way and like, don't talk to me, I'm doing this, and then when it's over, then we all jump on and play. So I do miss Halo vacation. Night. I will come back when Infinite.
That's really we good. Figure when Infinite drops, that's gonna bring a large group of people back to the fold, so that's why we made the merge of Monday night game night is now Thursday night game night with Halo rotating in every few weeks, along with a selection of fun games that are curated by Fireman Batista, and I'm gonna throw that out here right now. I'm actually gonna post into game night to. And I'd like to get some Forza Horizon 4 into the game night mix because...
But not the Battle Royale mode.
Well, we can't do the Battle Royale mode, so yeah. What about what about what's going on in the book club thing? What's
book club is this month reading Malcolm Gladwell's Talking to Strangers. I know nothing of this book. Reading's hard for me, so I looked up some things on it quickly, and it seems to be a well-received book, and to be enjoyable. So if you're interested in doing that, jump in the book channel and talk with the people, add yourself to the book club role, and get into the book club secret channel. Yes, we do have secret channels in DAG. You just may never know which one you can join if you only add the right roles. Moving on, we've been talking about a lot of different things this evening, and Hop and I kind of got into this conversation like Sunday night or something, and it was regarding around Rainbow Six Siege. Some news came out where Ubisoft has said Rainbow Six Siege will be cross-gen playable, meaning that people on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 will be able to play with people on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation or Xbox Series X. It's not cross-platform, but it will be cross-gen. So within the same ecosystem for the most part. And then with that, when they said all that, they followed it up with, well, the version for those new consoles won't be released right away. And that brought up a lot of questions. Well, what does that mean? It's not going to be released right away. Does that mean they're just going to do like they did with the Xbox One X, a patch that will enhance it to be able to be running at the best optimized version for that console? Or are they going to release a brand new game? With that being said, the question that I pose to you guys is, what is your view on this new generation, and now we are no longer going into this clean break of, you know, it's a new console, so there's no games on it except for what comes out the same day as that console. All your games that are on Xbox One now, all your games on PlayStation now should, in essence, be playable on the new devices. How do you feel about companies remaking games and then selling them back to you to buy again so you can play them with better graphics and fidelity?
So, it's an interesting question. I feel like the current generation has been the generation of remakes and remasters. And I feel like it's worked out well for the game companies. People, you know, I mentioned earlier that Last of Us came out on PS3, and then they re-released it on PS4, and I'm sure a lot of people rebought it there. With this upcoming generation, it feels like those lines are just blurred. With all the recent delays in games, Cyberpunk got delayed. You guys can probably pull out five more of things that were supposed to come out this fall or this spring and have been pushed back to fall that are all supposedly still this generation, but then that puts it in the same time frame as new console launches. And I just have to think that the companies are going to go the route of the enhanced type thing. So let's say if I buy Cyberpunk on Xbox One and then a month later I pick up a Series X, I know they've already said that you're going to be able to play Cyberpunk on the Series X with your Xbox One or X or with that disc. So are we actually doing re-releases, or are companies just going to put in that extra effort to enhance them to try to, you know, move sales over to the new consoles once they're ready to do it?
Yeah, I mean, kind of where I'm standing at is, like, I think it's cool that Ubisoft has announced this, but they haven't really come out with, are they going to, like, because I pretty much plan on buying a Series X at launch for the most part, or within that launch window. Ah, who's kidding? I'm going to have one on launch day. Are they going to sell me an updated, separate game of Rainbow Six Siege Series X Edition? Or are they going to upgrade existing owners of the current Siege on Xbox? Because we got on Xbox One, I bought Siege, and then on the One X, it took them about a year. They finally patched it, and it was a huge improvement in both the graphics and the gameplay just because it moved so much better. Are they going to do the same thing, or are they going to justify a huge charge by reworking the game? But if it's going to cross-gen play, I don't know how that's going to be. That's the point where I'm kind of like, at what point do I buy the remaster of a game? If it's like really, really well done, if it's, you know what I'd buy in a heartbeat, and I've brought this up before, is like remastering some of those 32-bit games that, you know, at the time the graphics were neat, but they look so dated now. Like, I would love a remaster of Panzer Dragoon 1, 2, and the RPG number 3. I would buy that in a heartbeat, because those games could use that love for a remaster and introduce them to a new group of fans. But to rebuy the same shooter I bought last gen, remastered, it would have to do something really, really special to get me to buy into that.
What do you think?
Sorry, Fenrir, but it's already been stated that the new consoles are backward compatible.
Right.
So,
right.
And that wasn't the case at the start of this generation, which is why we had so many remasters and redos.
Right.
So I feel like they're not going to be able to get away with the same shit, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Like, I feel like at most they're going to be able to sell you an enhancement pack to say, okay, well, yeah, you could put your Rainbow Six disc in.
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Like,
if there's like
and play it, or you can give us $10.
Right, yeah. If there's some sort of enhancement, like get this add-on for the upgraded textures and stuff, because they do that on PC.
And Ubisoft played around with this at the beginning of this current generation with I think it was an Assassin's Creed game. It came out on both, but if you bought the 360 disc, you could put it into your Xbox One, and for $10, they would just give you the Xbox One edition.
Oh, nice.
So there's precedent for this.
Well, and the other thing I was going to point out was something similar to what you're saying is Shadow of Mordor was a game that came out on the 360 and then came out again on the Xbox One and same thing with PlayStation. But it on the 360, it was a very simple game in terms of you just kind of went through, you took care of the orcs you needed to take care of before you could finally fight the big bad guy at the end. But on the current generation, on the upgraded version, that's when the Nemesis system came into play. The Nemesis system couldn't exist on the 360 or the PlayStation 3 because they weren't powerful enough to handle the processing that needed to be done for that game. So I guess if it, in essence, adds a new feature to a game that wouldn't exist on the current generation, but may be able to exist on the next generation, then I could see maybe recharging you to buy that game again to an extent. Maybe not full price, maybe a downloaded pack that you buy for $10 or something. But if it's just exactly the same game but higher resolution, then I honestly can't justify spending any money on just textures.
Right, that's kind of what I was saying too. It's like
they'll find a way to do the upsell to get their $10 or whatever.
True,
but I don't think people are going to bite on another $60 again.
Dude, steady.
We did that
people,
enough.
People will do that. They're crazy.
Well, I mean, look at Grand Theft Auto. It was like in the top of the NPDs still this year on random months, and that's not DLC stuff. It's actual copies of the game being sold.
That's because of online. That I mean, Grand Theft Auto Online is what's selling that game, but there's also that game has been discounted heavily, and they've done, you know, combo packs where if you buy this, you get X amount of shark cards. True. To play online and things like that. So, I mean, that game is just a monster.
And that game came out on the 360 and PlayStation 3 originally. Yeah, so
it's a 6-7 year old game now, but it's still a monster. So, yeah.
I mean, I think it. I mean, look what they're doing with what they did with Resident Evil 2, and then what they're doing.
Those are really
Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean by like taking that generation games, those 32-bit games. They were at the time amazing, but some of them, you go and look at them now, you're like, wow, that looks like shit. So I'm really impressed with what they did with that. The Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, Final Fantasy VII. They need to get some more of those lost games. Panzer Dragoon is screaming for a really nice, super redone remake, and get some. Stop remaking games we just played 5 years ago. Go further back. It's kind of like with movies, how they're remaking movies from not too long ago. It's like, no. Go remake movies that need a remake. Right. Not movies that were freaking awesome to begin with. Like, there was no need for a RoboCop remake. No need.
You mean you don't want another remake of Spider-Man?
Right.
Shouldn't it? I look at that as different from what we were talking about with Rainbow Six Siege. Like, I don't mind plopping down $60 again to play Resident Evil 2, because I haven't played it. I haven't played that game since its initial release, 20 years ago?
Plus, that remake is significant. Like, game, but they've expanded it a ton. Yeah, just watching the videos of it, I was drooling, going, I'm tempted, but I'm staying away for now.
It was real, real good.
Yeah.
You know, Final Fantasy VII, so...
The flip side of that is, I talked about Tokyo Mirage Sessions came out on the Wii U, and that game came out, I guess, maybe 4 years ago at most, and then they re-released it on a new system. And the same thing with Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. You know, it's basically the exact same game that came out on the Wii U. They just ported it over the Switch, and you know, I double dipped on that.
Resident Evil 4 came out on the GameCube and it was well received, but honestly, the Wii port was better.
Well, that's true, because you had the aiming.
Yeah, the aiming was better. So, I mean, those, like, that's kind of like Fen's thing where, I mean, and a lot of those Wii U games just didn't get the exposure because, let's face it, the Wii U didn't sell like gangbusters. The Switch sold like gangbusters. Right. So,
go ahead.
Did you guys ever play Splinter Cell Double Agent?
Yeah.
Which version did you play?
Xbox 360? Or was it on a... Which, that was a 360 release?
That was a 360 release.
Yeah. Played it on 360, I believe. And well, that's all I had.
I'm pretty sure it had another version. I might be mixing up my Splinter Cells, but there was two versions. And I think there was one on the original Xbox. And it was a better game than the 360 version.
Yeah, there are certain games where that happened. Definitely. Even in this last gen where the 360 versions were, you know, they were kind of doing upscaled ports to the Xbox One, and they weren't really... The one I can think of was Call of Duty Ghosts. Between the 360 and the One, it wasn't really a big jump in fidelity or difference at all.
And it was a pretty bad game to begin with.
I enjoyed that game.
Which game?
Call of Duty Ghosts.
Oh, I never played it.
I like the space one that nobody else liked.
Future Warfare?
No, it was Call of Duty. Infinite?
Infinite War. I didn't. Because
it was after Advanced Warfare was good, and then I think it was Infinite Warfare after that. I like that because you could fly around in spaceships. It was a space flight sim.
Yeah,
it was
awesome. Never played that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Sorry, got off on a tangent.
But I mean, yeah, so I think that it's interesting that we're in this precipice of the new consoles going to drop sometime this fall if the coronavirus doesn't take out all of China that makes the consoles that we want to buy. So does that put you in a wait and see approach before you buy certain games on the current generation?
So, back to Cyberpunk, which I had pre-ordered because it was supposed to come out in March, and then it gets pushed off till September now, and that's a month before the new consoles, right? Supposedly. I guess there's no release dates, but we would expect the new consoles to come out by November at least. So now, yeah, I'm like, well, do I go ahead and keep my pre-order, or do I just hold off and buy it on the new console? It's one of those things where you just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, as time gets closer, the great thing about pre-orders, you can cancel whenever. you know, up until the day before. But
right, and the only reason I pre-ordered it anyway, because my Gamers Club Unlocked was about to run out, and it's like, well, I better go ahead. If you pre-order it, you get it locked in at the 20% off price. Oh, okay. So I was like, so I kept it. But yeah, I mean, part of me saying, well, there's no way I'm going to want to play this on the on that old Xbox One X mm-hmm. when I could wait a month and play it on the shiny new Series mm-hmm. X.
That's a game that I will definitely wait for that Series X version or enhanced patch before I even get it, because that game's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Right. But if it had come out in March, I would gladly, you know, play it on current gen. But now,
right, now that's what I mean. Now that it's,
but 30 days in between, nah, I don't know, man. You know,
yeah, and that's where I'm at. Like, if especially if a game is saying we're already going to come out on the Xbox Series X, I'm gonna go, I'm just gonna wait until I have the Series X before I buy this game, because I don't want to put myself in a position where it's not gonna be able to run at the best possible optimization for the console it's designed for. So
meanwhile, Sith is probably listening to this thinking we're all idiots for not playing on PC anyway.
I mean, he's been jumping on the Xbox quite a bit lately, so I can't convince him to play some Siege with me, but because he's got his crew.
I mean, there's a lot of us that we love Siege, but the community that plays Siege is really toxic. I mean, the only time I really like to play Siege is when the Xbox Siege crew is on. You, Big J, mm-hmm. King, you know, those guys, Rauman, Monarga, all those guys that play Siege that are cool to play with. But playing with randoms is like it's Russian awful. Roulette, man. You don't know what's going to happen to you.
I get team killed and kicked all
right,
the time.
Right, that's what I mean.
I suck. So
it's not, unless I have a full team of five, the minimum I'll go into Siege with is including me, is two other people. So three of us, we kind of have somewhat control. Four, five's even better. Other than that, I won't do it. I won't go in that game by myself unless just to play Terrorist Hunt. Won't do it.
Yeah. Well, any other thoughts on remakes and redones?
I think I said my piece on that.
Yeah, I mean, if they're done well, I don't mind double dipping, but I think, like Hobbs said, there needs to be a significant amount of time in between, or a significant amount of improvement.
Okay.
And so, yeah, case-by-case basis, I guess.
Fair enough. Well, Studknuckle, any final words for the listeners that you have?
Can I plug my son's Twitch channel?
Go ahead.
So my son decided that he's a Twitch streamer now, and nice. He's super happy, except the only followers he has at the moment are mom and dad. So he would be super thrilled if people followed him on Twitch, and his Twitch name is TheKillerWhale616.
Okay.
And right now at this moment, he is streaming NBA 2K20. But he also plays a lot of Fortnite and Minecraft and Rocket League. So, yeah.
What's it? The Killer? I'm going to add him right now.
The Killer Whale 616.
We will.
He just started last week, and every time he's streaming and he sees the little number pop up that somebody's watching, he just gets the biggest smile on his face.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not using Twitch as much as I used to, but I'll follow him on here.
Yeah.
Hop, anything from you that you would like to share with the world?
You can find me at the adultgamer.com Discord. If you want to do any Xbox Live gaming, that's the only platform I'm on, hit me up there. If you play Call of Duty Modern Warfare, no matter what platform, come hit us on our competitive gaming channel. Ping me there. Give me your Activision ID. I'll hook up with you and play some rounds. I'm always down to play some games with people. Like racing games and shooting games. I've been known to play some MMORPGs too, so when Phantasy Star Online 2 drops, we will. I will probably get lost in that for a while. So
are you not playing the beta?
I played the beta. It was awesome.
Okay, is it done?
It was a 3-day closed beta. They're going to do an open beta in the next week or so. Okay. I may or may not. I know I'm ready. I just want the game to be released so I can just play it at my will instead of being on these weird time frames where the servers go down and up and down and up. It was annoying. Gotcha. But I understood because it was a beta that that's what was going to happen. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am Fenrir765. You can find me on the AdultGamer.com Discord. And you can also find me on Xbox at Fenrir765. And I hope to see you guys around and play some games.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Always, dude. Pleasure, dude.
I hope those bits are still mighty clean.
All right. See you guys.
Peace out.
Later.